Hey, welcome to Geekologist Radio. This is a mini-sode, and we are also part of the Mulehorn Gaming Network. Now,
shut up and sit down.
Hey y'all, welcome to Geekologist Radio. I'm Damian Nash. Tonight with me, we have Brandon Fouts. Say what's up.
Hey guys, what's going on?
We also have Chris, also known as Two Wolves.
Two Wolves, super excited to be here this evening.
And we have a special deep-fried guest with us. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on. This is awesome.
Yeah, hey man, it's been a bit since we've talked. A lot of things have gone on. You got this. I think you got a new show, right? You got a new show you're working on.
Yeah. I started a new podcast up. A little different, but still Division based. It's all about the lore of the Division. So a deep dive into it. It's called Collecting What Remains, and we've just been gathering information from all kind of sources and putting it together just for shows to get people immersed in the world and kind of understand the background of where the game came from and the components that are brought together for the lore, and then just about the game itself.
That's really awesome. I'm not gonna lie, I had a mistake come up because of an episode of Bombshell Jackets that you were on. And when I was trying to give a shout out to your episode, I said, "Yeah, you know, hey, Deep Fried Dave, and he's got that new podcast, Collecting What Remains." And yeah,
it's never more pertinent than it is today.
No. Well said.
So, oh wow, I just. Thanks, gentlemen.
Just for anybody that doesn't know, that's an inside joke that I don't want to go into.
Yeah.
It's a really shitty situation.
I'll tell you what, when I follow Dave on Twitter, I literally follow him for food porn. Because all the time he takes these pictures of all this delicious stuff. And Dave, I know you're a cook and you're a connoisseur of food. So like, it's fun to watch your Twitter feed.
Oh, thank you very much. I think it's fun to watch my Twitter feed too. I like to go back to it and see what I've cooked in the past, but there's a couple guys that have been matching me with food porn, which has been cool. It's like a food porn cook off. But
that's right, you heard it first here. Food porn coming to a Twitter near you.
Trademark.
Patent pending.
So when you're going at something like this, when you're creating a lore cast based on something that's just something that's as steeped in credibility with everything that they put into something that's the title that's Tom Clancy, what do you do to create something that pulls in and helps credit the name Tom Clancy when you're talking about the backstories and stuff?
Well, specifically with the Tom Clancy part, I think it's important to, you know, you look back at all the books and groups, as we talked a little bit on the first episode of Collecting What Remains, where the different genres, whether it's the counter-terrorists or the military SWAT type of feel that they're going for or presence with it, is that you really want to make sure that realism is there. And that's what has always been great, and it's always been powerful about all of his books, is they're always like, oh, this could happen. You know, this could be a real thing. This Rainbow Six could actually be out there, you know, and they are. But I think it's important to, in order to honor that and to have people understand that what a big part of the game it is that you really need to get them immersed in kind of the detail of how the story was developed. Like we talked a little bit about Dark Winter, which was an influence for the game and the writers and the actual story behind it, which is a real event. So you start looking at all of these facts, like real world facts and events that have happened that they've pulled from to create this story in the world, and a lot of it's is true. So that itself puts the story in that Tom Clancy universe, I believe, where it's just based off of realism, so they keep true to that.
That's really awesome. One of the things that goes along with that is do you find that by doing this, when we're in an area that's kind of it's a content lull right now, and we experienced that with, you know, other games, you know, Destiny was one of them. What do you think that this when you're able to go back into a game and just really delve deep into the story and stuff, do you think that really is that something that you're looking to put out to help people with their content gaps and stuff, having them be able to listen to your podcast and be able to play the game alongside with what you guys do when you guys put out an episode? And have you had any feedback from the you know, people saying that this is helping me, this is helping, giving me something, the game's different to me now that I listen to your podcast? It's making me want to go back and experience New York again.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's 100% accurate. There's a couple ways to answer that. The first one is that you know, it's a different, we're talking about a lore podcast, which is kind of good in a sense. Well, for me personally, from doing, you know, news and focusing on news and Rogue Agent Radio for so long, you know, there's controversial topics, and you're talking about improvements that need to be made in the game and bugs and fixes, and it's kind of nice for myself to step back and focus on something more positive and in depth in the game that's fun to listen to. And we've been getting a lot of feedback how it's kind of refreshing to be able to listen to a podcast that for a game that they enjoy and learn something about it, and not necessarily, you know, go through the state of the game and go through the bugs again, whatever it is, you know, and the fixes, where it's just fresh. And we have also gotten comments where people are like, okay, you've motivated me to go collect all the intel on the game. You've motivated, I mean, we've had you know, tons of people that have said, now we've gone out and bought the book, The New York Collapse, the companion. And on Reddit, we had a lot of good feedback about people just wanting a show like this to help them get immersed in the world, and they're loving hearing it, and they're actually getting into the game. And I think it really helps to understand where all that comes from, and it really helps you more appreciate your character and the world that's around it. So I think when people do listen to it, you'll have a little different aspect and a different perspective on things when you're actually paying attention to the world around you.
That's very, very true. I can attest to following your Twitter and seeing people post up, oh, it took me weeks to get it, but it's now, you know, it's now here, you know, and all the excitement around it. It is outstanding to have something that you can do that you can shelve the salt.
Exactly.
And that's been, I know that being a part of the community team with you for Rogue Agent Radio, I know that was something that, you know, I would try to come up with articles and stuff to post up, and you'd have to find things to spin sometimes so that it wasn't putting up a negative light on things, because, you know, we all enjoy the content that Massive created, and one thing with that is that sometimes I feel a little bad, because they're the ones that are basically beta testing this engine that they're working with, you know.
Right.
Ubisoft now has all these other titles that are coming out using that engine, but they're able to look and see, oh, Massive did this, Massive figured this out, and people don't think about that. They just think, you know, oh, well, I'm seeing guys running around and guns floating above their heads or things like that, and it gets frustrating, because, you know, you want to see them succeed, and having something along this lines, when a lot of the other podcasts have left the division, this is what they need to help, you know, assist them into the future. And so it's really awesome to see this stuff. Now, Chris, I know that you had some questions that you wanted to start throwing at Dave.
Sure. The first one was, is I appreciated the fact that you had some logs from April. Like, what was the thought process behind it? Because, like, it actually brought me into your podcast when I was listening to it. I thought the audio logs were, like, really, really super cool. How did you come up with the concept?
Yeah, that was something that I'm a firm believer in. So there's lots of there's a lot of podcasts on every topic, right? So I know, you know, we all have a Destiny background. A lot of people do. But if you want to hear a Destiny podcast, there's 20 of them, which is great because there's a need for that because you have different personalities and different viewpoints and those types of things. But even with Rogue Agent Radio, I always felt that if I wanted to do a podcast, I wanted it to do something that had something unique in it to where, like in Rogue Agent Radio, you're not going to get this accurate gun review anywhere else. You know, that was something that we did there that you were not going to find in another podcast. And lots of people came to listen for that. So what I didn't want it to be, and I've heard other doing some research on how to approach lore, because I really wasn't a big lore person until this started, is listen to other podcasts about lore. We just didn't want to be on there just straight talking for 2 hours, you know, listening to ourselves dig into it. So I started to come up with different ideas on how we could implement other areas to do it. So the one idea I had was April. So it, I think there, what got me turned on to the idea is there, when they did a promotional video of the book, it's April's voice, you know, so the throughout the promotional videos that she's reading one of her entries as herself. I said, oh, wouldn't that be cool if we just had April chime in from time to time to bring her perspective in? So that's kind of how it came about, but I think it's going to work really well just to break it up a little bit. And so we've got some other things planned, like example would be, you know, I think the fun things to keep it light, keep it a little lighter, like these obituaries that we're doing this next week, the obituary contest we have for the fallen faction leaders. I think it's going to be stuff like that that's going to make it a little different and fun.
When I heard that and I was listening to the podcast, I was thinking about all of the people who are listening who would want to participate. I thought it was awesome. Like, it's like, okay. And the best part about it was if the faction wasn't up for that week, they could still participate and, like, you know, leave that information, which I thought was really, really cool. In getting all the information, I'm sure in the beginning it was like, oh yeah, we can grab this information, it'll be pretty quick. I'm sure this is a time-consuming process, which is why you don't do a weekly podcast. What kind of information, how long does it take what is the process for you when you're looking up this information?
Well, it's kind of progressing to where it should get easier, because the hard part is say you want to, you want to look for one topic. Okay, let's talk about, we're going to talk about the JTF next week. So you want to research the JTF. Well, you have all these different resources, whether it's a book, whether it's audio logs, whether it's game mission dialogue. So you kind of have, we kind of have a list of all these different places where you can get lore. And then there's articles and paraphernalia that they've put out at E3s. But as you start collecting this, it doesn't make sense just to sift through and pick out the things you want for that episode. So we've kind of created, as we've been going through things, almost a database for it. So it's like, okay, instead of trying to go and pick out these episodes that talk about the JTF, you know, we just kind of assign it, have like a little task list, and like Tinks will go and write down all the mission dialogue. You know, here's all the missions, here's who was involved in them all. And then I typed out all the audio logs for the JTF, and then we, you know, find some, whether it's Wikipedia or other information that they've put out in interviews about faction creation and stuff like that. So it's not it can be very unspecific to one area. So right now we just have a lot of information, which is good, and it allows us now to get closer to a point where, okay, well, we know, okay, we have all these logs. We can pull the JTF log out of there. We know that, you know. So now it's you create an outline, and a lot of it's we can just start to pull information from everything we've collected.
Now, one thing I heard when you said this, I heard database, and one thing we all know, if anybody knows anything about Deep Fried Dave, it's database, or I guess I think one thing we could say is database.
Yeah, that's right, the database. Thank you. Thank you. I will take full credit for that.
Hey, I will tell you, back in my day, I wore, and it was during hot weather, I was wearing a hoodie that had the DOD bottle on it, Destiny emblem, and I walked in front of my neighbor's house like three times a day just until he finally came out and came up to talk to me, because I didn't want to go knock on his door, but I found him on the database.
Really?
And,
isn't that awesome?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we talk on a regular basis. He's a PlayStation guy, though, so I can't be that good of friends with him.
Right, I understand. I understand. You have boundaries.
Just kidding with that one, but...
A man's got to have some limits.
So,
I was going to say, like, today has been a busy day for the Division. We had a state of the game that was dropped and has given out a lot of information. Thoughts on the state of the game 1.4 update?
So 1.4 today, I'm not sure if you guys have gone into this already, but so they came out and said, last week's state of the game, they came out and said, yeah, we realize, it's not in a great state. A lot of people aren't having fun. We're not having fun with it. We're going to address it. So today they come out and say, 1.4 was intended to be the second part of the DLC drop, the survival, and it was originally slated for September, if you look at back of the year one plan. So really interesting that they come out today and say 1.4 isn't going to happen in September. And secondly, it's not going to include survival. Survival will be later this year. We're not going to announce that, but instead in October, we're pretty much revamping the game. I want to say, you know, looking through the whole core game experience and changing everything that we can. They had a list of like seven main topics in order to create a better overall game and kind of shelve the content creation on it, which, I mean, who would do that? I mean, I don't even know how you, after I saw it, you know, I tweeted out and was like, you know, I'm very impressed that a set of developers would do that. And you think about all these commitments that you have to make to whoever it is, in this case, you know, Ubisoft or, you know, Bungie, if it's Activision, yeah, we're going to put content out here. You know, that's to say we're not going to do that because we're not going to meet that commitment because we want to go back and do a lot of work on the game to put it in a good place. It says a lot about them, and I've always felt that way about them, that they've always been passionate and very forthcoming with it, with all the information. So it was really quite impressive.
Yeah, when you sit and listen to them talk, I watched the state of the game today. They seem really genuine about the fact that, you know, this is broke and we need to fix this and we want our community to be happy. And so, like, this is a kind of a different approach to Bungie, where Bungie said, you know, everything's okay, no worries, we'll make it better, but didn't try to address the crowd while they were in the process of doing that. And Massive is actually taking a step back and saying, you know what, we're going to fix this. And then they're inviting groups of people who aren't just YouTubers to come to the facility in order to try to playtest this thing and say, okay, what can we do to make this thing better? What can we do to make this a game that you guys will find fun and want to play for years to come? To Massive, kudos all around.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting because this could be a game changer for gaming itself and developers itself. I mean, this is a new approach. So if it's very successful, you could see the meta change in how people address their consumers or gamers, you know, when it comes to developers. Now, if it goes the other way, it'd be like, oh, see, I told you so. We probably shouldn't do that. But I think it could be really good for gaming altogether to get developers that are like this and open and honest and very forthright with what they're doing and what their game is. So it's a risk. I mean, just like the game was a risk to begin with, making an RPG out of a Tom Clancy game and making a Dark Zone experience, all those were big risks that they took. And I think this is another one that I feel really good that it'll pay off for them because they're handling it the right way.
Yeah, it's a fresh approach, which I really appreciate. And the fact that they said, like, when I initially heard it, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're just going to bring YouTubers on. They're going to bring Twitch streamers. They just want to get promotion. Because, I'm thinking in the terms of a gamer who's used to, like, all of that. And then when they said, you know what, that's not the case. We actually want regular Joes who play this game, and we want their opinions. Here's how we're going to do it. This is the avenue to take it. It was like, okay, they're really going to take the voice of the fan, and they're going to implement that into a game. Fantastic. Yeah,
and I think that's important because I've said it sometimes, and I love all the Division YouTubers. I think we have some great content creators in the Division, but and a lot of YouTubers will tend to be like the top 5% of gamers, right? So they're the ones that are playing an unprecedented amount of the game, you know? And sometimes I don't think it speaks to the other 95% of the fan base. So to say we're going to bring in just regular players to get feedback, I think says a lot about what they want to do, and be interesting to see how they coordinate it all. I have some great ideas for them if they'd like, but,
I was just going to say, are we going to see,
I was going to ask, yeah.
Are we going to see Dave go? Cause I know I'm going to fly. So I'll definitely throw down. Yeah. I think we're all going to throw down. So
no. Yeah, but, definitely. I mean, it's a good opportunity for anyone to apply, you know, and take a look at it, but I'm really curious to see how they're going to execute it. You know, me management side, I'm like, if it were me, I would do this rotating focus groups. It's like there's a strategic approach to brainstorming that I've done several conferences on and with that I think would work really well. But that kind of stuff, I think it would be, I'm glad to hear it's just not, hey, we're going to invite a bunch of people and you're going to play survival. Or, you know, I hope there's a more brainstorming and understanding what they should do for this patch and not so much play what we already did. That's kind of what I'm hoping.
It would be good for them. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say, I imagine Dave with all the spreadsheets all out.
Yep. That's where I was going.
With all the statistics.
I'd sit down and be like, let's get
the business. Now, Hamish, yeah. What you need to do is this right here.
The percentage on this weapon. Yeah.
I don't get that on those areas. I leave that to skill up, man. He's got that dialed in, but yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Well, Damien and Dave, you guys are more into this world, I think, than even Brandon and I are. But Brandon plays on Brandon still plays on a regular basis. What would you do? Like, if you could change, like, if you had one thing in the Division right now where you're like, okay, this is what I could fix, and it would make a huge, drastic change into the game, what would it be?
If I could change one thing, it would get a group of people to test out the Dark Zone and really dial it in to figure out how to make it so that it's an enjoyable experience for everybody, and find a way that, you know, they want it to be a group up thing, right? But find a way that make it a little more balanced, that if you do want to go in it solo, it's not feeling like you're just going in and going meat to the grinder. That's the way that I would have it. Now, that, because of the nature of the Dark Zone in itself, it's a really hard thing for him to do. But I figure if you have enough people that aren't the power gamers going in there, they're just the casual Joes, you know, a dad that's got a couple little bit of time to hop in, to run in there and do something, give them a chance to go in there and get the feedback from them. And find a happy medium between the two. That's where I'd go. Dave?
Yeah, and I'm 100% on board with that. So I'll say something else, but that's my priority, because really that's the end game component. That's the part that was intended to be the major component of end game. You know, and if it worked properly, it would. But there's a lot of things that need to be improved or changed or tweaked, I think, to make an enjoyable experience for everyone. And I don't know if you can ever get to that point to make an enjoyable experience for both PvP players and PvE players, but that's a whole other topic of discussion. But I really think the enemy scaling is a big hurt right now for solo players and for group players. Just there's no presence of to that point to where you you build your character and you don't feel powerful. You put all this time and effort to it, you don't feel powerful. You go in and you play a challenging mode or a heroic mode, and you still get two shot by a you know, an LMB shotgunner. It's like, well, why the hell did I just min-max my character with 700k toughness if it's not really benefiting me playing these harder difficulty levels of content? And with that, as a solo player, you're even more hindered because, as they mentioned it a couple weeks ago, there's a gap between I can play hard content and get hard gear, but in order to play challenging content, I need challenging gear. So I'm kind of stuck. So that's where you get stuck as a solo player. It's hard to progress. So, and it takes a lot of the fun out of it, too. And that would also help the Dark Zone. So I'm going to go with the enemy scaling would touch a lot of different aspects of the game.
What I was going to say was, and I talked about this offline earlier, is that Bungie took kind of a brunt of a lot of criticism because they weren't having conversations with their fan base, and they were trying to deal with all of the issues that they had. And then Massive came out and they threw out this really big, long line of what they were going to do. Like, we were going to hit this date, this date, this date, and this date. And I think people had such high expectations for what Massive was going to be able to accomplish that I think it was unfair on what they were looking for out of Massive, especially for a game that had never been created before. And so if I was Massive, I might have a conversation with another group that had, you know, who's been at the forefront of dealing with a lot of press issues such as Bungie, only because Bungie's been the forefront of complaints and Twitch streamers and YouTubers and all of that, which Massive was trying to kind of collect. And so I think that in the process of learning that they were in the forefront and now Massive is coming up behind, they're learning the lessons that Bungie kind of already has laid out. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I think there was definitely some lessons learned from Bungie that I don't think were captured and that should have been captured. Because, you know, year one, vanilla Destiny, people could say what they want. You know, at the end of the day, by the Taken King, it was fleshed out. So you start looking at just the balance of things and the way that they approached. They just started to get the hang of everything. They went through their hurts, you know, by the time the Taken King was come from in-game, out-of-game. And I don't know that there was enough insight given or enough research into how that played out. Now, I will say, though, I don't know if you guys ever have taken the surveys, but after the beta, was it after the alpha or the beta, they sent out a long survey. It took you like an hour to fill out. And then they sent out another one right before 1.1 dropped, asking you very detailed questions. And then you could keep going another section. And you got to a third or fourth section where they just asked you straight up, compared to Destiny, is the loot better or worse? You know, compared to Destiny, you know, and it was just straight out, which I think was the right way to approach it. And so I'm kind of curious to see what this survey that they're going to bring out over the next couple of days is going to do the same thing. But there was definitely some takeaways that they could have gotten from Bungie and other developers had they done it. And I think they just got, I mean, they were eager and they wanted to be very upfront, and that's just the type of developers they are. And I think sometimes people will hang on every word that you say, you know, and they'll pick things out and get expectations from things that may not have been there at all. So it's tough. I mean, there's never going to be a right or wrong way for them to look at, especially with gamers, and some have such a sense of entitlement and expectations. And I always try to keep my expectations low, but sometimes that's not too easy.
No, it's really difficult because the big complaint is we want you to be very transparent, but the problem is Massive is so transparent that then their expectation level becomes so large that it becomes difficult on that end. So it's so hard because it swings so far both ways. And I think they try to do their best. I really do, because the state of the game thing that they come out with all the time is a conversation level with gamers on a very real basis that has openness, like, constantly. Yeah. And so I think they do their best. I really believe that they do their best. And when Hamish is out there, you can tell when Hamish is quiet, it's like, okay, why is he being quiet? Like, because sometimes he's really quiet on Twitter for a period of time. And it's like, he's an open dude. So, like, what's up? And so I kudos to Massive. They are worried about the gamer. They're concerned about the gamer. So whatever anybody says about the game itself, they are concerned about the person who's purchasing their product.
No, absolutely. And you can also see it. I think what's going back to that a little bit is they're so transparent. They do this great thing where they get in front of the gamers every week and give you the state of the game and what they're aware of and what they're not aware of, but it's never enough. You know, you can't pinpoint another developer that's doing that, but they're still hiding things from us. They're still lying to us, you know, even though they're going above and beyond. So it's never going to be good enough, and we have to appreciate that and just accept it, you know, for whatever they would get, whatever they would put out there. But I could see how it could be a little frustrating when, as a developer, when you think you're doing all those right things that developers haven't done and being so transparent. Yeah, but like you said, kudos to them for doing that.
So we're coming up on about the half hour mark and whatever, and we know that it's really late for you over there on the East Coast. is there anything that you would like to say in closing about what remains or anything of Division related or even anything else related for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say I'm excited to see what you guys are going to continue doing. So I think you got some great chemistry on the show, and I'm looking forward to following what you guys are going to produce. It's always good to see new content creators come about. If you want to catch Collecting What Remains, we just put out our first episode just like 3 weeks ago. We're probably going to be recording the second this week, but you can follow us on Twitter @DivisionLore. You can also email us divisionlore@gmail.com. Aside from that, we also we're under Ninja Pancake, so you can go to ninjapancake.com and catch us there too. But other than that, I'm excited to see what Massive is going to do with this. I think it's well needed and well deserved, and I think it's kind of inspired me. I think I'm going to go start a new character just to play through that 0-30, 1-30 experience again, and just enjoy it while we wait for some things to flesh out. And I look forward to hearing some news on that front.
That right there was awesome to hear, because hearing that you want to do that makes me want to go do it. And I still got a character that's only level 8, but it makes me want to go start another character. So that is what the community needs right now. So that is awesome. Yeah. So we're just going to, we got Deep Fried Dave's, his information out there. So let's get the rest of you guys. Chris, where can we find you?
You can find me at Two Wolves, pretty much anywhere, TWOWOLVZZ. Twitter, Xbox, PS4, wherever things are, that's where you can find me at.
And Brandon, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter @BE_FOUTZ. You can also get a hold of all of us at Geekologist Radio at geekologistradio@gmail.com. And very soon we will have a up and running website.
Ooh.
Super excited. Yeah, super pumped.
Yeah, with that website, we're going to have articles. Also, hey, if you're listening to this and you are interested in writing and you would like to submit an article to us that you've written in the past or a blog, feel free to send it to geekologistradio@gmail.com. And we'll go over them. And if you would like to have your stuff featured on our site, we can talk about maybe partnering you up and getting your stuff, giving your stuff more of an audience. So please look into that. And then I'm Damian Nash. You can find me on Twitter @MrDamianNash. And so that's going to end it for tonight's mini episode. We look forward to talking to you later.